In 1884, the American George Eastman developed something which would change the face of technology for the century ahead of him. And he founded his company, Kodak. And by 1900, Kodak had developed the Brownie camera. It enabled people, normal lay people, to own a camera and be able to take photographs in the comfort of their own home. It cost $1 and sold right across the United States. By 1975, Kodak were an incredibly huge company. They employed 175,000 staff across the world, including Gene and George, just up the road in Kirby. In that same year, 1975, Kodak had 85% of the market on personal household cameras and 90% on film development. And in that same year, 1975, Kodak began to develop, with the help of George and others, began to develop the ability to take digital photography that could print instantly. But management and Kodak made a decision. They decided not to pursue that because of fear that it would ruin their photo print business. As other companies took on the technology, as other companies grew and developed developed digital photography, which grew exponentially, Kodak was left behind. And in 2012, Kodak went bust. Why? Because of fear of change. Fear not of the change affecting the past, but fear of change affecting what they presently had. It's good right now. Why would we want to change in the future? You know, Kodak aren't alone. The popular Barbie doll is no longer the best-selling doll in this country because Mattel were given some orders. They were told, why don't you go and redevelop Barbie to be more of a realistic female shape? They decided no, and their sales dropped, and Bratz is now the most popular doll in this country. In the 1990s, Nokia were famous for building mobile phones smaller than any other company. They incorporated things like better text messaging facilities, games, and other things that you could do within the world of a mobile phone. But they failed to develop the internet side of it for fear that it wasn't needed. And that meant that the likes of BlackBerry took over. BlackBerry were doing great in the early 2000s, but they decided not to develop touchscreen technology because they preferred their mini QWERTY keyboard, which meant that the likes of Apple and Samsung have overtaken them. Companies that have made a decision to only see what's in front of them but not see what is beyond the horizon. The Western Union Building Society turned down a patent from a young developer for fear that his invention would never really take off. So Alexander Graham Bell took the telephone elsewhere, and look what happened. I believe God is calling us as a church to be horizon viewers. I believe that in the season of change which may be coming upon us, that God is calling us to not be afraid of stepping out and taking risks for fear of what the present looks like. God has blessed us incredibly as a church over the past 26 years. He's blessing us incredibly right now. And I believe that God's hand will continue to be on us in the future, provided we're willing to keep our eyes focused on Him, which may mean sometimes there will be changes ahead. And back in the summer, I believe God gave me a verse that would shape my ministry here as this church. And as the elders, we've talked and prayed about this verse and believe that the verse for us as a church this year is Isaiah 43, verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I believe that verse has a lot of power for us this year. I believe that God is going to use that verse throughout this year as He begins to shape us as a church and mold us, as Pastor John has said, from being about footings and foundations to building the bricks and taking us as a church to the next level of what God is doing. The context of the verse, it was written in the book of Isaiah, a book written over many years and many geographic areas. Isaiah's writing spanned the time of four Judean kings, but he actually wrote and prophesied over 12 kings from Uzziah through to Zedekiah. And the main theme which runs throughout the whole book of Isaiah is the supremacy of God, that ultimately God is in control, that He is sovereign. No matter the situation, God is in control. And there's three sections in Isaiah. Some people think it was three different Isaiahs or three significantly different time seasons, but three seasons, the first 40 chapters, Isaiah's call, but then also about the people of Judah, God's people turning away from God. And then chapter 40 sees a bit of a turn. And chapters 40 through to 54 are about a prophecy of God's people, Judah, being in exile, but God still being sovereign and calling his people back to him, that he would restore them again, which we saw through Nehemiah and Ezra. And then the final chapters around the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And the verse that we're looking at is in that middle section where God's people were exiled, but God was promising that he would be with them, that that was just for a season and he would bring them back. He would do a new thing. He would restore them to something greater than they would have been in the past. It's the verse that says, amidst the hardness, amidst the challenges, amidst the barren land and the hardest of hearts, God is doing something new. God is about to do something spectacular. And I wholeheartedly believe that God is about to do something spectacular in and through this church if we are open and obedient to the move of him. It's a verse that says the best is yet to come. And I believe there's three things that God wants to underpin us with for this year. This isn't just three things because I like 3 points or it's easy to remember. These were three things that I really believe God has spoken to me and is speaking to us as a church. The first is this: change is challenging, but do not be dismayed. Secondly, don't dwell on the past, but look to the future. And thirdly, we need to be people who are trained to recognize the signs of what God is doing. Firstly, change is challenging, but do not be dismayed. Just two chapters earlier, God has spoken one of the most famous verses of Scripture to his people, Judah. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not be dismayed. When change comes, it can be easy to feel dismayed. Feeling dismayed is a sense of having no hope anymore. Feeling dismayed is a sense of saying, I can't quite see how I'm going to get from A to B. Feeling dismayed is saying, I haven't got the resources in me to do it anymore. Feeling dismayed is your get up and go, having gotten up and gone. But God says, do not be dismayed. Yet the people of God through Scripture were often dismayed. Whether it was the Israelite army who were feeling dismayed after a man a bit taller than them called Goliath had taunted them for 40 days, these fighting men were dismayed. They didn't have it within them to stand up and fight. Yet out of being dismayed, God revealed his plan through a young shepherd boy called David. Whether it was God's people feeling dismayed about a man called Haman who had a plan to try and wipe out the Jewish race, but God raised up someone through Queen Esther who would reveal his plans. We're told that the disciples felt dismayed as they were on a lake that they had sailed many times before and the wind and the waves were so great. Yet Jesus came and calmed the wind and the waves. And maybe we're here today feeling dismayed. Maybe we feel today we don't know what the future holds. We don't know where life is right now. Work is hard, life is tough, family is hard, changes in the life of the church. Maybe we feel dismayed, like we haven't got the resources within us to do it anymore. If you feel dismayed, look to the cross of Christ. Jesus' death and resurrection speaks hope for the future. When change comes, we may well feel dismayed. But in the time of being dismayed, I believe God is calling us to keep our eyes fixed and focused on him. And whatever this year may look like, whatever changes may be afoot, we have to keep our eyes focused on him. As Isaiah was speaking these words of God to the people of God, they were people that would have known the story of God bringing his people out of Egypt into the wilderness and into the promised land. And when they heard some of these words, they will have thought back to God's faithfulness in that story. I am making a way in the wilderness. God's people would have thought back to the time when they were in the wilderness and God led them with a cloud of fire by night and a cloud of pillar by day. They knew that God guided them through the wilderness into the place of the promised land and making streams in the wasteland. They would have remembered the stories of God's people going to Moses, crying out for food, crying out for water, and God providing, whether it was manna and quail, whether it was providing water out of rocks. In the time where we may feel dismayed, the challenge is to keep looking to God And when we do that, we will see both his guidance and his provision. God's guiding and his provision. Change is challenging, but do not be dismayed. Secondly, don't look on the past, but look to the future. In 2012, a huge cultural shift happened for the millennial generation. In 2012, Radio 1 made a decision to say to their flagship DJ, Chris Moyles, "We want you to step down from the breakfast show." And in some ways, that seemed like madness. Chris Moyles was arguably Radio 1's most successful ever DJ. He'd held the breakfast show for longer than any other DJ, including the likes of Tony Blackburn. He had the highest volume of listeners that any Radio 1 DJ had ever had or has ever had. Yet a man called Ben Cooper, the boss of Radio 1, the person who started at Radio 1 with Chris Moyles, came to him and said, "Chris, we want you to step down from doing the breakfast show." It seems ludicrous. The most successful, greatest listenership, longest holding, why would they ask him to stop? Because Radio 1's target audience is aged 16 to 24. And the average age of a Chris Moyles listener was 26 to 32. It was incredibly successful, but it wasn't hitting the audience it was supposed to hit. And I wonder if sometimes for the church in Britain, do we ever risk missing those we're meant to be reaching because we're doing something successful? Do you know, I think the greatest risk for us as the church isn't changes that's ahead. It's not John not being in post. It's not having new elders that are learning as we go. I think the greatest challenge for us as a church is that we miss what God is doing because we may be successful in certain things. Let's never be a church that focuses purely on the past without looking to what God is doing in the future. If we do that, we'll end up as a church that had a heyday, but not a two-day. I believe God is calling us to be people who keep our eyes focused on him, who thank him for everything he has done in the past, who learn from everything that he has done in the past, yet continue to strive to what he is doing in the future. Verse 18 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." Do you know, I don't think that means we rubbish everything that has gone before us. I don't believe that for a moment. But do not dwell on the past. I think that means we have to look back and thank God for all he has done. The people of Israel did that. They would look back and they would recount the stories of God's faithfulness. As they walked up to Jerusalem, they would sing psalms. I think God calls us to do the same, to look back, to thank him for all that he has done before us, but continue to look to him for the future. John has already mentioned, but before I started, between my interview with the elders and coming for you to check me out on a Sunday and me to check you out, I was like a mystery diner in the cafe. And I can tell you that June served us really well. That's one of the reasons I'm here today. Thank you, June. But after lunch, John and I went through to John's office and he said to me two things. He said, firstly, I'm going part-time from January. And he said, secondly, what he said to us this morning, he said, "I believe that my call was to dig out the footings of this church, but your generation will build the bricks." I want to say thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you, Eddie and Sharon. Thank you, Ian and Jane, for being the people who build the foundations from day one of this church. Thank you to each and every one of you who have built solid foundations for this church. But the foundations of a house, they may well keep it solid, but the foundation of the house isn't where the family sit for a meal. The foundations of the house aren't where visitors are met with great hospitality. The foundations aren't the heartbeat of the house. It's upon building the walls and furnishings, but I believe we need to build walls that we can get outside of. The time is coming for a change. We're so grateful for the foundations. Thank you for all that you've done in the past, but let's continue to look to the future as well. Change is challenging, but do not be dismayed. Don't dwell on the past, but strive to the future. And finally, God is calling us to recognize the signs of change. Yeah. Back in 2013, my wife Becky and I moved house from our very little first house into the house that we are just about to move out of. And I remember the day we moved and we said these words to one another, "We are never moving house again." And it seems that the Lord has a habit of saying, "See, I am doing a new thing," as we move in a few weeks' time. But when we first moved house, it was only a mile away from our old house. And so we had to concentrate quite hard to not go the wrong way home from work. And I didn't actually know what road my house was on. I have a dreadful sense of direction. The only way I knew is that at the end of our road was a house that had two different for sale boards on it. And so I knew that when I saw the house with the two for sale boards, I turned left and that was our road. My routine for 3 months was, I see the house with the for sale boards, I indicate and I turn left. Well, one day the for sale boards went, and I went straight past the end of our road. God is calling us to be a people who recognize the signs of what he's doing. Because as change comes, we need to be tuned in to him, to know his voice, to hear what he is saying for the changes that are coming. But how do we do that? I believe that 2017 needs to be the year that as a church, we commit deeply to pray, to really be on our knees. As Billy Graham once said, if we want to see a nation on its feet, we need to be a church that's on our knees. I wholeheartedly believe that. This needs to be a year that we're on our knees. I believe it also needs to be a year when we're in God's word, that we go deeper in our personal and corporate reading of his word together, but also a year where we continue to strive to be generous. I believe those three things are key in following God for the future. Are we committed to reading his word? Many people will start New Year's resolutions. This isn't just a pointless one. This is a serious one. Are you prepared to commit today to read more of his word? To spend more time on your knees? What in your life needs to change in order for those things to happen? The time for change is upon us. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. These are the days. These are the days. God is pouring out his spirit on a people who are open to him, who will hold unswervingly to him, no matter what the future may look like, that says we commit to you, to thank you for the past, but we commit to seek you and strive for you in the future, even if it means putting us outside of our comfort zone, even if it means taking a risk on things or people or mission projects. Let's do something different. Let's never get caught up in the we're successful in what we do mentality. Let's always seek him for what he is saying to us next. Change is coming from the God who is unchanging. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, but he continually reshapes. He continually brings new life. He continually regenerates. As God brings about changes for us as a church, the reality is that only happens through the lives of you and I as individuals. Here's a plan for you. A plan for you within the life of this church. Are you willing to be open to what he may be calling you to do? Will you be prepared this year to serve him wholeheartedly? Will you be prepared this year to follow him unswervingly? Will you be prepared this year for God to work in you and through you? Will you follow God's creative heart and dream bigger dreams for the kingdom? Will you have your eyes with the lens of the Lord for the lost in the community this year? Will you reshape things in your life to spend more time reading his word and praying and listening to his voice? Will you trust in his guiding hand in a changing season? Will you commit to him to thank him for the past, but to seek him for the future? And will you commit to do it together? As a church, we may be individuals, but we are here together as a family. We are much more effective together than we ever would be apart. Change is challenging, but do not be dismayed. Don't dwell on the past. We thank God for it. We learn from it, but we strive to him for the future. And finally, we need to tune ourselves to his heart, to be aware of the signs of change, so that when God brings that about, we are ready to follow him, no matter what the future may hold. The message puts it this way: be alert. Be present. I am about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the lands. It's bursting out. We're on the edge of a great move of God. I wholeheartedly believe it. Are we ready to follow him? See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The newspapers will tell us that the church is dead. The church of Jesus Christ is well and truly alive, isn't it? We will see a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland if we follow him wholeheartedly. Why don't we stand together?